Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. We are back. Glad to be not together, but we're back.
Back in the studio, the virtual studio, and so glad to be here. We have got so much fun stuff to tell everybody about recapping our weekend in Houston, don't we?
We sure do. And just it's good to be back in the studio. We missed you guys. And I know the people who are so loyal to us. Thank you for saying you missed us. We missed you too. We're glad to be back. We're not in person, but we were in person a lot last week, and we're going to be in person a lot next week. So you take your nice break from Lise and Connor.
No, I don't need a break because I feel like I don't know that I've ever had friends that I've traveled with so well. We do so well traveling together. We really do.
I think it's cool because it's kind of unspoken too. Like, we spend just enough of time alone together, but then when our families kind of need a minute,
yeah,
we don't even talk about it. You just go to your thing, I go to mine. And
let's tell them before we get into the recap of Houston about the fun little mom realizations we had and what we did in the airport with the boys. We both were kind of convicted that maybe we need to push them a little more when we're traveling.
So, yes. So we went through security at Houston. We kind of got there, got everything on, and we got through security and we said, okay, guys, we just pulled them to the side. We said, where's our gate? What are we doing? And God love Tanner's always packs his winning attitude.
Yeah.
And my son always just packs his attitude because we get through and Tanner's like, okay. And he goes into like problem solving mode. You can see him. And he's like, where could you look? And Connor's like, disgusted look on his face. And he goes, I guess my app. And he, you know, grabs his phone. And then Tanner's looking. Yeah. And the board was unfortunately only listing flights of airlines we weren't on, which was confusing even for us. And then Connor goes, I don't know how you expect me to find it. Why is that? And he just starts to storm off. And Connor
fantastic Connor and Tanner moment. But they did rally. And between the two of them, Connor was the one who thought, let's go to the app because the board on the wall wasn't working. And then Tanner did look up and see a sign and kind of got us going in the general direction. And they worked together from there. So I was really proud. And I think moms, you and I are so similar in how we both tend. We are multitaskers. We move fast. We think fast. We like to get it done. And we're both probably pretty guilty of doing too much for them, like in a situation like traveling.
Just for efficiency, I want to go. Yeah.
Right. I just want to get it done and get it done efficiently. But I was really proud of us for that. And we were both making a big effort to make them initiate, you know, pushing their bag up to security, getting their own ID out. You pack it up. You lift the suitcase. It was valuable. I thought it was really
good. It was. And so needed because we're doing so much more. And Connor's just like, I don't know why. What did he say? He had some sassy. And then I said, what if I got hit by a bus? Do you remember? Because I just was more just showing him, like, if I wasn't here.
Right.
You got to figure this out. And then he muttered something as he walked away. And I was like, you better not have just muttered, you know, no such luck. I think sometimes Connor and I just kind of.
Well, and if just the drama, which is what made him have, we did not mention such a brilliant performance on Brilliant Minds. Congratulations, Connor. Amazing.
Connor. Yes.
But he doesn't even have to try for that. It's just there. It's just his God gift.
I feel like we're always out with a Shakespearean actor. Like, why must I get on my own gate? You know, and
I don't know why you think Tanner and I should
we have to do this? And I'm like, anyway, so it goes to show that Tanner's was raised well.
No,
and I raised
Tanner
the breath.
Was raised so well. But it was an interesting thing to watch the way the process.
They problem solved together.
Yep. And to watch them be a little shell shocked for a moment. But then to sort of let them sit in that discomfort.
Yeah.
What's really good. We let them feel the feeling of, oh, no one's giving me the answer. No one's leading the way. And I was really convicted as the mom. I was like, I have not been doing enough of that lately because the speed of our life has ramped up so exponentially that I have been forgetting my own advice, which is the advice I would give a younger mom is to let them be uncomfortable, put them in challenging situations. So I was really happy that we kind of thought of that this trip and intend to keep it up over the next few
years. I mean, and even with travel, but for me now, one thing's coming to my mind is I've realized Connor's sort of, and it's definitely me, just again, to be efficient, make sure things are done on time, kind of just doesn't have a clue about like his bills.
Yeah.
And it's time.
Right.
It's time.
Right.
So because we were talking somewhere and he's like, I really need health insurance.
Yeah.
Well, he has it. We obviously, he only works part time. He has to pay out of pocket. We have a private health insurance. He aged out of his father's policy. He pays a monthly health insurance every month. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of did the legwork on the deductible because guess what? That was such an education for me at 53.
Right.
I didn't even enjoy that. But just knowing the monthly bill and knowing what it, so that's what we're going to be working on. We're going to be logging him in. He's going to have to start doing that so he recognizes what he has to do.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I guess, you know, the real life situations are giving us little reminders and little prompts that we need to slow down a bit, even when things are crazy, and remember to go back to those basic things. But that was an interesting thing. I told all my family about it and they were all...
It was cool. It was very cool. I mean, like, obviously, you know, I don't want to make excuses for Connor. I mean, sometimes he's just, you know, he does have the thyroid issue, but like, it was funny. Connor's frustration cranked really quick where Tanner was more like, okay, wait, looking around, like trying to problem solve.
Yeah. But so, you know, that's so funny though, because I feel like Connor might spiral in the moment and be like maybe harsher or like come up with something quicker, but then he'll move on from it and rationalize it and understand
quick. It's over.
Oh, yeah. Tanner may not rail back at you in the moment, but 3 weeks later. You are on his list. You are on his ballot, and he will hold that grudge if you hurt his feelings or spoke harshly to him or did something that frustrated him. 3 weeks later, you're still going to be paying that bill, buddy. Like, he will get
you back. Know what? You're right, because honestly, there's times where, I don't know if you see how fast Connor and I switch out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And by the time we get to the gate, we're good with each other.
Yeah, it's been fast.
And then he won't even remember what ticked, you know. So it's interesting.
Like, you and your mom mad at each other.
Or Tanner, literally, we had an incident back in LA when we went for the Emmys. Tanner texted me a couple weeks later texted me a picture of the restaurant we were eating in when I got upset with Connor. And he goes, do you remember this restaurant? Do you remember you were mad at Connor? And I was like, Connor and I both probably forgot it.
And what a blessing that is. So, you know, but that is also, I hope, another way that makes us relatable for the people that are listening. Like, whichever kind of personality you have, it's difficult because it's difficult to deal with a quick temper in the moment because it makes you mad and it makes you want to choke them. But then it's very hard to deal with a grudge holder as well, who may not explode in the moment, but you're dealing with repercussions of things, you know, weeks later. So, but all of that to say, those were just some interesting sidebars.
They are two of the nicest guys we know. Oh, they're our sons, and we love them.
Hearts. And usually, when both of them get frustrated, it is because they wanted to do better or because they were trying to do the right thing and they felt thwarted or frustrated and or like they failed. And that, to me, is just the best news because it's all coming from a place of desire to please and a place of good-heartedness. So
exactly. And you know what? I have to stop and remember some of the stuff that we've been doing is it would be a lot for anybody, neurodiverse, neurotypical. I don't know, wherever you fall, I think some of the demands and, you know, I think they're doing really well for everything that the demands that they've been put on. So
they're doing amazing for the demands, but
so we're proud of. I have to joke with humor because
me too.
That's how I cope. Yeah. Because
we're always learning too. We're still learning. They're 26 and we're still learning. So, but Houston was the best trip. We want to say the biggest thank you to Memorial Drive United Methodist Church for having us there to speak. It was an honor and a privilege. And Rachel Walker, who we hope listens to this episode, the hostess with the mostest, multi-plant, multi-tasker extraordinaire. the nicest, coolest, most big-hearted lady. Just, it was wonderful. So, Lise, do you want to tell about the Methodist Church program? What they're doing there?
Special needs ministry. I didn't appreciate it. It only started out by serving, what was it, like
9 or 10?
9 or 10 adult, individuals with different needs at the church when she took over the program. It has since gone to, and I think they had, a handful of volunteers. They are now at like over 100 participants with like 90 volunteers. So the growth, I think they're not able to keep up with their growth, and they project more growth. Yeah. So she said she was racking her brain. She told a really cool story that I was unaware of. Yes. When Nikki and Tanner and Connor and I went and spoke back in May in Houston at the Pursuit Center, she purchased a table. Not even a VIP meet and greet table. She said, I got the cheap seats, but she wore her badge for her church. She wanted to do a fundraiser, and she wrote a note on her stationery to pass to us just to ask if we would even come speak at her event.
Yeah.
And Ashley, who we love, 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 who was running the Pursuit Center, grabbed her and brought her back to us. Yep. Nikki was speaking with somebody else. I was free, but I was dealing with Connor, who was having a sock shoe issue.
I love it.
And, but anyway, I, she asked, and I, without hesitation, I don't know, it just felt
right.
She quickly gave me a really fast elevator pitch, and it just felt like, absolutely. Like when she said what they needed, it was exactly what I always knew my mission and why we're out here doing all this. And the answer was just like, yeah, here, take my phone, put your phone number in it, and we'll figure it out. And and last week was just a blessing and a godsend. And
I don't
have any other words for it.
Yeah, she could not have been more organized, more accommodating. It was just a lovely experience. And then they were able, because I think the event got larger than the original, hoped for number. They were able to also give some extra funds to 3 other organizations. And I'm just looking at my phone to make sure I say everything correctly. It was Mikey's Place, which is, oh my gosh, Mikey's Place is just amazing. It's run by Ingrid Monroy. I'm not sure if you say Monroy or Monroy, but Ingrid's son, Mikey, is the inspiration for the name. And he has cerebral palsy and epilepsy. And Ingrid is his full-time caregiver. And they have, was it about 12 adults?
12. They have 12 adults. Yep.
And they come every day to Mikey's Place and work from 9 to 3. Yes. And
they work. They have things to do.
They make candles and cute little, like, just trivet trays and Christmas
ornaments
and all kinds of cute, just little, decorative type items that they sell at boutiques and craft fairs and just all different kinds of places. But it provides these 12 adults 6 hours a day of gainful employment, socialization, getting out of their house, gives their
productivity. Yeah. Just
part of a team. And they are the most precious people. If you miss collaborative post that we put up yesterday, you can see the resident or like the workers at Mikey's Place in Tanner Gray. And Ingrid is just, I'm like, okay, so she's 24/7 with Mikey, who does need full-time care. And then she spends the bulk of her day, making possibilities for other families. She's amazing. So
amazing.
It was like humbling was the word we kept saying.
And what's interesting is they had us in to make a candle each, kind of what the kids do. And it's a quality candle. I mean, you get a wood wick that crackles. They have legit quality wax scents. I mean, it was beautiful. And they taught us how to make it. And it's a few-step process. And there's measuring and all these things. And they were... We had help making our candles. Everybody was assigned one of the employees to help us. We just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And it was like just such a great thing. And one thing I want to say, Mikey, thank you. Mikey wore his Union Jack socks for Connor, his British socks.
Right, he did. It was just such
they're very thoughtful. Yeah.
And watch how Connor and Tanner, how they went in to that environment and just integrated themselves. They chatted with everyone. I was so proud of them and the way they were. I don't know. I just felt like they were so warm and really did their part to reach out to the workers. And it was, and they didn't know these people. These are brand new novel people in a novel place and a novel task. And they
enjoyed getting off of a flight. And usually I'm always hesitant flying with Connor and immediately going into stuff just because I know my son and his bandwidth. Mm-hmm. I think by dinner that night, Connor was feeling it. But he still did a great job. But we literally came off that flight and right to an activity. And that's normally a big ask for Connor. And, I was always just so proud at how they handled all of it.
I was so proud. And it was, again, humbling is the word that keeps coming to mind. So the main fundraiser was for the program at the Methodist Church. And then the other three organizations that they were able to support was Mikey's Place that we just described. And then the second one was Steel Magnolia Moms. And that is run by Elizabeth Elder. And she is another incredible rock star mom. She has three children. And the older two have Leigh syndrome, L-E-I-G-H. And it's an extremely rare, I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to say anything.
I believe she did lose her daughter.
She did. Yes. Yeah. She's already lost her daughter. And then her second child, Blair, the first older son, also has Leigh. And then they do have a third son, Clark. And Clark does not have it. So she's left with her two boys, but she lost her precious, adorable little girl 4 years ago. And she has not only, like every year on the birthday, does a huge fundraiser for Leigh syndrome research. She has founded Steel Magnolia Moms, and they provide support for moms who are mothering terminally ill or long-term illnesses, or while they're acutely ill in the hospital or after the passing of a child. They do these sweet boxes. They gave us each one.
Yes, we got a box. Yeah.
Oh, just so sweet. And I mean, I think they have like mom support groups. I think they have like a system of people who will go sit with a mom at the hospital, somebody who will quickly intervene if a child should pass to provide, you know, meals or whatever's needed for the family. It's just, and I'm like, I was sitting there looking at these ladies and they're beautiful and they're smiling and they're lovely and they're kind and they're giving back. And they have already, and these are younger women than we are, you know, shouldered so much and been through so much themselves, but it has not taken them down and it has not made them bitter or angry. Or in fact, they're everything opposite of that.
I was like, it's lit a fire for them too.
Yeah. And they're giving back. And I'm like, wow, if everybody responded to their hard things like that. It just, she's amazing and so enjoyed. I got to sit and chat with her a lot at our dinner, and she's just a lovely person and amazing. And then the third one, and this one is hard to say, it's Little V, capital ATP, ASC. I think she said it, ATPase Alliance. And that is actually the name of the disorder. Her name is Kristen Anderson, and the VTAPase Alliance is her organization. Her son Jacob has it, and he's 12. And didn't she say at the time
he was the fifth diagnosed? I think her organization is specifically with this diagnosis, but also supporting like research and of rare diseases. Basically, when her son got diagnosed, he was the fifth in the world to be diagnosed with this.
Like world.
They lived 5 years not having any answers, and they got some God-given support. They found these doctors in Italy that were dealing with it. He was the fifth in the world. And unfortunately, it's not, which is the way she put it, attractive or sexy to pharmaceutical companies when there's just such a small population who are affected, put a lot of research dollars into such thing. And so she really was left without a community or anything. And she is out there trying to start that for people.
And remarkable. Has two other boys. So, yeah, I mean, just that season of life when your kids or whatever, I think hers are like maybe 12, 9, and 4. I might be wrong, but they're
a cool age. Yeah.
I mean, that's a busy time in your life. And she's a career woman. And I mean, just to be having the bandwidth to get out there and fund. So we loved meeting Kristen, Elizabeth, and Ingrid. And Rachel, of course, you're a queen. We hope to get all of these women on the podcast as guests at some point in time so that our listeners can hear more in detail about them and what
it's
they're
doing. It's so much more moving hearing it from them. I mean, it just, yeah.
And maybe you never know who it might spark in another part of the country, or they may make a connection and somebody somewhere else might get something started for their community. And that's the whole point of this podcast, is to get the word out about what's happening out there so more people can get help in more places. So it was just really a blessing. I just kept thinking about being humbled, like the whole time, just like, number one, how far we have come and how blessed our life is in this season, and how, you know, it is not as difficult as it used to be. And just like, I don't know, just getting out of my own head a little bit. And I wasn't meaning to be in my own head, but just feeling like I need to be very conscious of that all the time. There are people around you who have bigger need, who have harder things, and we need to be looking for those people. I think that's just been it.
Yeah. And like we were saying, like the platform that the boys have been given and us as an indirect result is one that we take with a lot of responsibility and care to share, pay it forward, and do what we can to help. And it was, you know, they were all showing such gratitude toward us when really I felt it should have been opposite.
Right.
I was just, yes. Yeah, so our pleasure to just go and help. And it is still kind of mind-blowing to think that they sold out 500 to come see us. And, you know, hope we delivered a message that was worthy of their time, and that, you know, so, you know, again, we're just glad to be there and help. And it was just amazing.
Yeah. And I felt like I definitely get speaking nerves at yes. any engagement, but for this one, and I want to give a shout out to Lisa's dad, Ron. Lisa had a great idea, which I love, to call her dad, who is a precious, precious man, and have him just pray over us, just kind of bless the four of us before we went on stage. So we did. And he's lovely. And me and Tanner got to meet him over the FaceTime. But I remember when Tanner and I were on, and Midge were on the Kelly Clarkson show, Laura Palmer, who was our producer and still is a producer on the Kelly Clarkson show and has become a dear friend, she did that. She prayed over us. We literally held hands. And whether you're religious or not, it can be whatever you would use to bless yourself. But she, you know, we grabbed hands and prayed and just kind of centered ourselves before Tanner and Midge went out. And I've never really seen Tanner be that collected and that calm and that cool and that well responding in a pressure situation. And I felt that way speaking Thursday. I really did. I didn't have the nerves that I usually do. I didn't have that butterfly feeling in my stomach. I felt calm. I felt collected. So really grateful to your dad for just giving us that.
He loved it. He was so
it was very
touched that we called. Yeah.
Sweet what he said. It was really, and I don't know, it just is inspiring. It made me want to go do it rather than be nervous about going to do it.
Right.
So.
And I mean, it was a bit unnerving, but yeah. And then you're sitting there going, I don't want to trip when I walk up these stairs or...
And we got to meet Nikki Tomczak and Olivia and Marty, who has been a guest
in person.
They are Houston residents, and it was so cool to meet them. Olivia is darling, and they're just as fun and cute in person as we thought they would be. So that was a really fun social media podcast, real life connection.
And then I think just after we spoke, so they were allowing people to come up onto the stage, like in a controlled fashion, to come say hi, take a picture or whatever. And this one woman who runs Brookwood, her name was Sarah, I believe, residential community out in Texas. The one thing she came up after, and it just kind of said to me, I did not know what to expect. I came here as a total fangirl, love on the spectrum, just love the boys. I was just vibrating to meet the boys and say hi to you and Nikki. She said, I had no idea. And she said, you know, I run this program. I'm not married. I don't have kids. I don't have anyone in my life on the spectrum other than people I work with. And I've always joked. And she said it, you know, she's like, kind of the hardest part of my job is the parents.
Yeah.
And I can see that, because us parents of special needs people, we're used to having to scrap and fight. So she said, as she listened to you and I speak, she felt like she was being kind of spiritually fed or spoke to. And she said, I need to do better for my moms And I'm leaving here tonight with like a game plan and a conviction to try to go and put some things in place to get better with my relationship and communications with the moms, which that was just very, just to know that our, whatever we said spoke to her.
I know. There were so many people that just, I don't know. I just felt overwhelmed with them sharing their, you know, their hard days and their blessings and their achievements with us and just connecting. It was an overwhelmingly cool thing. It really was. It was great. So we loved it. And I found it very motivating. Like Tanner and I are getting ready to go to Nashville tomorrow and we're going to be speaking in Nashville. And I feel like this is a really cool and very exciting and needed opportunity. We're going to be talking to their highway patrol and talking and, you know, the police officers about what they might encounter when dealing with someone with autism and let Tanner tell it from his perspective and me tell it from a parental perspective. And I was like, that is such a great thing to be teaching our police force, you know, so they know kind of what to look for and maybe a better strategy for interacting with someone and lessening stress and lessening overstimulation. So that's an exciting one. But the Houston experience was kind of the kickoff to a bunch of speaking engagements, and it was really motivating and just felt so positive. And it was exciting. It was made me excited to do it and kind of renewed my energy for being out there. It really did. It was really, really good. So
you're good luck with that. That's going to be amazing. We actually just got a local marshal's office come to us. So I'm excited about that because it is so needed.
It's important.
And we're excited that even like the police are starting to really want to train and get this awareness. It's just great.
Oh, like, awesome. I'm so glad they need to do it so bad. It's wonderful. So exciting. So, you know, we're thinking ahead and thinking over the next few weeks and primarily to now, with the exception of maybe one or two, we've been very, very autism focused, which is wonderful. And we will continue to be. But we do want to bring in some other topics. Lisa and I want to talk about some girl things, maybe some more women-centered topics. And, you know, we're loving the DMs and the suggestions. Send it in. I mean, you know, we want to hear what you guys want us to talk about. And we want to get these gals from Houston on so that they can tell you guys about what they're doing and, you know, maybe make connections in other parts of the country. And we've been also daydreaming about like who would be our dream guest. So we're going to put it out into the universe. And if anybody knows anybody, no, I'm just kidding. But
this is who we want.
I want to interview Jenny McCarthy. I have been listening to her. She's getting ready to release a book. And she's obviously very influential in the autism world because of her son, Evan. But the book that she has coming out is about perimenopause and menopause, which is a huge topic of interest for me, having been in the fitness space for 30 years now. And it's something I'll love to talk about and that I had my own journey with. And so I would love to have her on and talk about all of it. I'd love to talk about the autism stuff. I'd also love to talk about the health and the wellness and the perimenopause and menopause stuff. So she's my dream guest that is kind of maybe a little bit untouchable right now, but we're working towards it. Lise, who's yours?
Okay. Well, actually, I actually thought of a second one too while we were doing this, but like that would be insane. For me, it is Candace Cameron Bure.
Yes.
And part of it is she just did something with body dysmorphia, didn't she? Mm-hmm. And like a big podcast on hers. And so we joke around, like I will put myself, I kind of, well, Nikki thinks I probably do have this. I struggle with that. And just kind of the way I feel like I look, and it's hard to talk about because it seems like it was such a shallow thing. It really does. But that kind of thing does impact you, and I'm not doing it to fish for like, oh, you know, it is just something that I struggle with. Like I've always struggled with just my shape. I mean, there is morbid obesity in my family. Mm-hmm. It is there. So I see that in my genetics and it looms over me, and it's something that, you know, I don't, but I mean, you know, I can't ever seem to kind of line up how I feel or what kind of body I'm living in with the way I see myself. It's just strange. And I would love to know a little bit more about the psychology behind it and kind of what to do to not get so mired down in it. So that's one. And then honestly, speaking of, so if you see, I am still in my office.
Oh, yeah.
But I made a big change. Was it a week ago Friday? I walked away from full-time employment. I'm very scared. I have had a full-time gig since 2008, since my divorce and needing to get out there. I've never not had a full-time paycheck. So the decision was made because of Connor and everything, the opportunities. And they're obviously Connor's opportunities, not mine. So I'm just hoping I'm not making a big mistake. I'm so blessed by the people that I worked for, Bonnie and Phil here at Surface Providers. They've now switched me from a full-time W-2 employee to like just a 1099. So if I want to come in and sell a kitchen or a bathroom or do a job, I can. That's but awesome. I don't have to. But they've kept me logged into everything. I can come use the office. So I was here today all day because I did have a few kitchen leads that I'm working. So I'm keeping them. However, I don't need to. And as soon as I'm done this, I get to leave. I don't have to stay and go do right. whatever I want. So that's a blessing. Taking that jump was very scary. It's still very scary. There's no promise of anything. But Hoda Kotb just wrote a brand new book. And I'm reading it, and it's just about just taking the leap. Let me just see. I want to write, see what the book is so I can, I'm reading it, and I don't even know the whole name. but it's amazing. It is Jump and Find Joy. And it's about, like, do it. It's about go get the opportunity. So she would be, and we are, like, not even a small bump on a potato to her, small fry, but she just seems like a down to earth woman.
Yes. And you never know. You never know. We say these things and we believe that it's possible.
She's amazing.
We also did not know each other 2 years ago. And look at all that has happened. Nothing is impossible. You and I did not know the other one existed. So
no, that's very true.
Anything's possible. We didn't think we would be sitting here having a podcast together. Yet here we are. So
we'll put those out in the universe. But I would love to even talk about a fearless, you know, jump off a cliff together kind of, you know, people who have done it and been successful. Yeah. I don't have any success story yet, but I've done it. I'm scared, but we're going to do it.
Yep. You're currently dangling in the air and let's just see.
I am free falling. You know, that's all.
Tom Petty would say.
So scared.
No, I think it's awesome. And you know that nothing ever changes until, what's that saying? You know, nothing changes until you change. You know what I mean? Or whatever, like you gotta. And when the opportunities knock, and I do feel that so much more strongly in my 50s. Like, and maybe it's like with menopause, you're not quite as sweet as you used to be. I don't mean you. I mean you as a general term.
Oh, no.
Like,
me.
You know, like, that's true. You know, kind of like, hey, I don't have forever. I definitely feel that way now. And like with all these opportunities and things happening, all the travel, like I've had so many people look at me and say like, oh, that's crazy. What? And I'm like, it's here. Like the opportunities right now. And these are all good things. If I don't take them, there's no guarantee they're coming back. We're going to do it and at least make the memory, whether it leads to something else or not. We're going to make the memory. Yeah. And do it because I think maybe 10 years ago, I would have rationalized myself out of some of it or been like, a little more cautious. Maybe we'll do that later. But now I'm like, no, let's go. Let's freaking jump. Let's go. Let's do it.
It's been amazing. I mean, like, so in the week that I was off, let's see, we went to Houston.
Yep.
And then, you know, I mean, I'm obviously in here today working a few leads and stuff. However, the rest of the week is just, you know, I'm working on some stuff. And hopefully we're going to do this and make this a little bit better. One thing would be looking for real studio space. Now that I have more flexibility, I can get myself to South Carolina. We can find a mutual meeting spot. We're you know, it's early days, but we're trying a lot of different things. And this is one of our focuses, is to make this experience great for all of you and hopefully get more of you to listen to us.
Yeah. And an in-studio setup would just be a dream too. So we're... Yeah. Doing our best to move toward that and see if we can get that set up sooner than later. So it's exciting. But anything else on your end, Lise? I think everybody else is kind of trying.
Well, we've got a big trip this week. Did we talk about that?
Yeah,
we
talk about it. Yeah.
So there is a lovely man in Hawaii called Kamaka. Is it Diaz?
Diaz, I think. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he has his podcast, Keep It Aloha.
Yeah.
And Keep It Aloha is very big in Hawaii. And it sounds to me like Kamako is ready for mainland U.S. to start paying attention to him. So he has so graciously reached out and invited Tanner and Connor, and obviously we're their travel buddies. They can't shake us. And some family members. We're going to go to Honolulu next week. We leave Sunday.
So
we leave Sunday. Yep. And, you know, it's a work trip. You know, yeah. I mean, I've talked to Connor about, you know, this is an extremely cool destination. But it's not like we'll be eating bonbons and laying on a beach. We're here for it. We're, you know, Kamaka's going to give us an authentic Hawaiian experience, but we're going to do it in a vlog format for his podcast. We're going to share it. So you will get to come along with us and see what the boys are up to. But we're very excited about that. I've never been to Hawaii.
Neither.
I've never been.
Tanner's bucket list. I think the original age was like 31 or 33. You know how
we're beating it. We're beating it by a couple of years.
Beating it by several years. So another thing he can check off the list. So it's exciting.
I have to tell you, the closest I ever got to going to Hawaii wasn't close at all. My 50th birthday, Tony, my husband, had planned a surprise trip. It was just destination unknown for me.
Oh, nice.
He took me and him and our six kids. No boyfriends, no girlfriends, just the eight of us. Just the eight of us.
Right,
we're going on this trip. Everybody knew where we were going except me. I was given sort of a climate of how to dress.
Right.
And we got to Atlanta Airport and he thought he would be funny. And, you know, they were bringing me to my gate. They wouldn't let me see when we were checking bags, like even down to walking up to the gate. So Tony goes, okay. And he's an idiot. I love my husband, but he's an idiot. He thought he'd be funny. He turned, he's like, it's this gate right here. And he was hoping it was going to be like, you know, no offense, like Boise, Idaho or so, you know, we love, if Idaho's cool. But he was like hoping, and it said Honolulu, Hawaii. And I went, oh my God.
Yay!
I've always wanted to go to, and I started, and he goes, oh my gosh, no. It was great, but it was like San Diego. It was still nice.
Right. Very
but it
nice.
Brought me to it. I literally think he thought the gate was going to be like
Nebraska. No offense.
Yeah. No offense. But like, you know,
South Dakota. No
offense. You know, Sheboygan, you know, who knows? He's just like, and it was Honolulu, and he went, oh. So when I got to our gate, it was like, we'd already been, but I was like, it was still cool. But then he's like, oh my gosh, I screwed up. He's like, that was just the worst thing that could have been, the worst destination that could have been.
Worst so thing you could have possibly seen right then. So yeah.
For about 30 seconds in my brain, I thought I was going to Honolulu.
And I was
over the moon. So now I really am.
I'm so excited. So, yeah, there will be lots on the socials about that, which should be pretty funny. I'm sure we'll have some nice, amusing moments because there's never a dull one with those two.
No.
So maybe,
you know, Jack said he would do sort of some more vlogging for us. Maybe we vlog making the boys get us to the airport so you guys can see.
Yeah, that'd be so fun.
Because Jack has come, of course, if y'all think Jack has moved away and gotten a full-time job, but not heard about something like that and said, whoa, wait a minute.
Hold up.
I'm coming.
Yeah, I'm coming. And Midge is gnashing her teeth that she can't come. She would love to, but she will be teaching third grade, and that's okay. That's a good thing. So I'm
so
excited.
That would have been so fun with Midge.
I know. That would have been a funny one with her. But we're going to have a great time, and I'm super excited to share it with everybody. So
yes.
Yeah.
So good. So that's kind of in a nutshell. So next week.
We don't know yet.
We don't know. Stay tuned. Because we will be physically in Hawaii. You know what? Maybe we have a rest day on Monday. Maybe we do something quick from Hawaii. You know, we'll show you where we are.
Maybe let's try to do that. Yeah.
So, you know, obviously you can see. We're still flying by the seat of our pants here a little bit. It's going to get better. We're going to get much better at all this. But just wanted to hop on for the regs and the people who really, really do look forward to us every week, which we are so grateful to you. We love you for it. And definitely want to do more messages and reaching out to you guys and talking with you and comments. But this was just a quick hop on because we wanted to share just how moving last week was and let you know, we want to introduce you to some of the women we met. They're pretty remarkable.
They were remarkable. So anyway, so it's been great. I think that recaps it all.
Yeah. And so that short one today, you know, lucky you.
We didn't take up too much time.
Didn't take up too much of your time. But anyway, that's it, Nikki. That's all from me. What do you got? Anything?
I'm good. We are good. I'm heading up to Clemson right now. Gonna go get my man, pack him up in Tennessee tomorrow.
All right. Well, good luck in Tennessee. I can't wait to hear about that. I will see you at Dark 30 Sunday morning.
Very early.
Very early.
All right, everybody. We love you.
Mean it. Bye, y'all.
Lastly, everybody, if you liked hanging out with us today, do us a favor, hit the follow button, leave a rating, or drop a quick review. It helps more than you know. And if you really loved it, send it to a friend who needs to hear this. And if you're interested in sponsoring a future episode, please send us an email at talktomesismail@gmail.com. Thanks for listening and love you, Mina.